Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we are in the 10th session of Sacred Purpose Trust. So there's 9 other sessions you may not have heard, which you can get on our podcasts or on our websites. They're not all up yet, because some of them are just been recently broadcast or are being edited from other shows that we've been doing, but eventually they'll all be available on the livingnetwork.org, which you have to seek to become a member of by joining the network in your local area, and then we'll let you know when all these are up, as well as some other written documentation that goes along with it. A lot of things in the news today and this week that we saw. There was a couple of things on Facebook. The one fellow was going around and putting a rag over a girl's face. Of course, he knew who she was. It was all staged, as if he was chloroforming her in broad daylight on busy city streets. She passes out after screaming and resisting slightly, and he picks her up and carries her off, and nobody did anything. One guy eventually decided to track the guy down, but he had already left the area by the time this guy started to act. And I know that part of that is because of the fact that you can't quite believe what is happening. But that, the spirit of not being involved, people actually were interviewed later and said things like, it was none of my business. That never could have happened years before. In societies, but in modern society, the hue and cry has gone out. Nobody does anything. Somebody else sent me a video of people, which I think they're not too far away from us, where the husband was arrested, and people were standing around trying to figure out. They thought the cops were being overbearing and not being fair, and he hadn't really done anything. They just decided that they wanted to arrest him, and so they did. And then his wife videoed this, I guess, with her phone, and she was cooperative in every way. They said, step back. She stepped back. They said, don't step over here. She didn't step over there. She was cooperating, but her husband is in the police car, and so she's videoing. And they say they're not afraid of the video. They didn't tell her she had to shut it off. They said that you had to go away. Well, her husband's still sitting there in the car, and she stepped back. She continued to step back. She stepped where she said she didn't want to cause any trouble. She didn't want to interfere. She identified herself as the wife of the man they arrested. And they just all of a sudden, just you could see that there was a spirit of, you're not doing everything. You're not bowing down to my power and authority. No way were the police officers in danger. They weren't being obstructed. Nobody was interfering. And they just decided to arrest the woman. And they grabbed her and cuffed her. And that's just unbelievable. And they don't realize that it's unbelievable. They don't realize there's anything wrong. Same thing with the issue of Mr. Bundy, Clive Bundy, and going on in Nevada. Another story. Huge military-like force surrounding in order to round up these cows. Bundy has fought this in court for years and years and years. He's actually made the BLM look bad in the media, even in the courts at times. But there's a huge amount of power that wants every rancher off that range. Of course, there's oil underneath the ground. There's treaties that are involved here, and they just want all the cattlemen off the range. Of course, people say things like, well, he doesn't own it, the land. Well, he owns a grazing right that would pre-existed the BLM. They don't have the right to really just take it away, although they do have certain powers and control. But you see, you've created a system where people have the legal right to be morally wrong. And And most people do not understand. I read some blogs on this. I read some where people are making comments about it. And people don't understand property rights. They don't understand grazing rights. They don't understand what's going on there. They're picking sides, and they are completely ignorant of what's really going on. They don't know. And you know who is to blame? Well, you blame everybody, because everybody's been slothful and everybody has chosen to remain ignorant. You know, they know more about Silas Marner than they do about the law. And I don't know if I even got the name right. But anyway, reality is that it's the same thing as in the days of Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. The modern Christian has more in common with the Pharisees who crucified Christ than they have in common with the Christians who followed Christ. Because 90%, and I'm being generous here, of the Christians today are not doing what Christ said to do. They're actually doing the opposite of what Christ said to do. And it's very clear, once you understand historical context and a definition of a few words in the English, and then go back and reread the Bible. Don't even have to get into the Greek, just to get into the English, to understand what words meant in English, say 200 years ago. Certainly you should understand what the words meant when they began to translate the Bible into English. But you have to put it into historical context, and you find out that Christ was actually freeing the people, not only of Judea, but of the world, whatever that means. And many of you probably know what I'm saying here. Freeing them from a system that was modeled after the spirit of Cain. And that, of course, is what Clive Bundy's real problem is that Clive Bundy made Cain look bad. The spirit of Cain looked bad. He embarrassed them. And also, he's grazing his cows on land that's got oil underneath it. They want to get rid of the cows. They don't really want to save the tortoise. Of course, they have a number of people that want to save the tortoise. Of course, the tortoise has been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and the cows have been there for over 100 years, and well more than 100 years, and the tortoise is still there. So the tortoises haven't gone. And there are all kinds of things you do. The tortoise does not need 600,000 acres of cattle-free land. They're not talking about overgrazing or anything. As a matter of fact, local biologists who work for the Fish and Wildlife have stated openly that cattle can actually be beneficial for the range. Once you understand how range land works and how nature works, grasses grow on the desert, and you either have to burn them off or eat them. It's part of the system of nature to produce things that will bear fruit and be consumed. It is good for nature. As a matter of fact, even overgrazing has been found to be an important management tool. But it's not really overgrazing. What it is you overgraze one season, but then the next season you let the ground restore itself, and it makes it stronger. It makes it a healthier ground. They've done this where they've gone to ground that hasn't been grazed in a long time, or they've done it also with ground that has been grazed regularly, where they actually turn cows on the ground and overgraze it so that it looks like it's just absolutely devastated. Brush is pushed over and all this kind of stuff, and all the grasses are eaten down. There's manure everywhere. And then they pull the cows off for a year. Now, you can't do that without management, because the cows have to eat something next year, so you have to have another place to put them. Well, if you have 600,000 acres, you can easily rotate those cows around and put them on one area overgraze it 1 year, and then let it rest for 2-3 years while you're on other pieces of ground. And what happens is the desert comes back and blooms more than ever. And it's called management. And of course, the BLM is the Bureau of Land Management. But I can show you, I've worked for the Forest Service, I studied with the University of Minnesota, and I've done a lot of studying on my own. I've read the books by Pinchot and everybody else. The bureaucracies are really very poor managers. They manage to get their pensions, but they really don't do a very good job managing. And I can say this from firsthand, inside experience. Any institution that sends somebody in a $50,000 truck to drive 60 miles to another forestry compound to count spray paint cans in a closet where there's probably 50 employees walking by every day, and then drive back the same, it would be some 60, 70 miles back to tell them how many cans were in the closet, and think that they've done a day's work, that's an insane operation. I just gave that off the top of my head as an example. But I can give you huge examples, like taking a wastebasket load of garbage and putting it in a 10-yard dump truck and driving the dump truck to the dump to dump the wastebasket of paper garbage, so that you get miles on the truck, is insane. Well, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. That's not a rumor that I heard from somebody once. I was actually told to do that when I worked for the Forest Service. So, and it just goes on. It goes on and on. I could tell you some really funny stories too, because I was a little bit outspoken even then. But the point is what is happening is that you're feeding the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, you did not strengthen the poor. And what did they mean? Sodom and Gomorrah was a socialist state. They were socialist states that provided benefits by men who exercised authority one over the other. Something Christ specifically said, if you were going to follow him, you were not to do. Yet, we have Christians out there, people calling themselves Christians, taking the name of Christ in vain, and saying that Christ was a socialist. Amazing. Just amazing. And they weaken society so much so that somebody thinks they tweeted about something they thought was unfair, or they put like on Facebook, and they think they've actually done something to stop injustice in the world. That's insane. You haven't done anything, virtually nothing, because all you did is make a virtual message to a lot of other people who will tweet it and send it, but nothing's being done, you know. And of course, what you do is the only ones who show up are the people who get all angry and upset and shake their fist, and really, in some ways, have the same spirit. They go completely unarmed. They think they get armed because they get a gun or something. They do not put on the armor of God, the armor of Christ. They will not succeed. They make lots of noise. They may push back a little bit, but they're resisting evil, with anger and judgment. It's not going to work. So we've been talking about the Sacred Purpose Trust because this is an institution of God. We see Abraham doing it. We see Moses doing it. We see Christ in the early church doing it. I don't see the modern church doing it. And therefore, there's no hope. There's no salvation in these modern churches. None. Absolutely none in the modern churches, because they're not following Christ. They're not doing what he said to do. They're not seeking to do. They don't even know what he said to do. And that's what we've been going over in the last couple of shows, is some of the things that he said that his ministers had to do. They had to do it. They didn't have any choice. If you are to be one of my disciples, you must you know, how many ministers do what he says in that command? And we went over that in the last couple of shows, how he said it over and over and over again. Yet ministers don't do it. They do actually the absolute opposite. As a matter of fact, the most prominent and famous ministers are completely, not only 180 degrees different than what Christ said they had to do, they have gone to the extreme in countering what Christ said to do. They do the absolute opposite to the nth degree. And then they wonder why the church is impotent. And it is impotent. Oh, they claim miracles here and there, but you know, the devil can produce miracles. And then there are some miracles that are just coincidences. And there are some miracles that are not really miracles, but simply, you know, like I've talked before about people who are suddenly healed and all this kind of stuff, especially in crowds, that what they're actually doing is redistributing the energy in that crowd. There's a way to be psychic vampires, spiritual vampires, where you take the energy out of one person and you put it in another. And if you don't think that's true, do you ever hear of mass hysteria? Did you ever hear about the old lady who picks up a car and lifts it off somebody when it falls off a jack? Now, how does she do that? Where does she get the energy to do that? Oh, they say adrenaline. No, just a little squirt of a little chemical in you. Now, boy, you need that. You need that if you're going to send your soldiers into battle. You can just have a little pump there and pump in a little adrenaline, and they could go do anything that you tell them. They'd be like superhuman. It's not just the chemical. There are other things at play here. And then there's the quantum issue. The spiritual issue of the power coming from the other side. Like we've talked about with some of the other things. But how do you tap into these other sources without, you know, pumping yourself full of drugs? You know, we talked in an earlier show about drugs, and you know, I mentioned that like marijuana can give you a sense that it helps you focus. What it actually does is cut off part of your perceptions so that all your attention can be focused in one direction. It's kind of like Ritalin. It operates differently chemically, but Ritalin, when the kid takes Ritalin, he's not distracted by the bird flying outside and the kid getting up and sharpening his pencil and the honky horn down on the street. He doesn't hear those things. He's cut off. He doesn't even notice them. And he's able to focus on the droll mumblings of the teacher, and then he gets C's in school instead of F's. Because before he was distracted by so many other things. He could tell you everything he saw during the day. But the teacher was the most boring thing available. But, and I've given you, told you stories, firsthand experience with people who get on these drugs and the seizures that develop. And then the parents think, well, the seizure can't be because he's on the drug. It's only when he gets off the drug that he has the seizure. Well, it's called withdrawal. And of course, that's why most people who get on these mind-altering drugs for depression, they think they can't get off them. And that's a trick to get off of them. And it should be done very carefully with proper supervision. But the reality is that as soon as you try to go off them, you start feeling anxious. Oh, I need my medication. Well, no, what you're feeling is withdrawal. I mean, it's like a heroin addict saying, oh, I need my heroin. Of course he's going to think he needs his heroin. He's trying to go off it, and he's going to have withdrawal. And so you have to prepare for that and act accordingly. Well, there's other addictions, and this is what we were talking about. Addictions to socialism. You're addicted to socialism. That's why you have public schools and public health and Medicare and Medicaid. And why, you know, police. Calling the police when there's a crime is socialism. Now, that doesn't mean you don't call for help, but the guy who just sits there and, you know, hides and calls the police, you know, in this community, because there are no police, I mean, they get out here from time to time, but the nearest police station is about 75 miles away. And so, people call each other out here. And many people show up out here. Not as many as should, but a lot more than you'll see in the cities. Well, that's very important for society. It strengthens society when you show up and care about one another and be there for one another. It's part of the character of God. We talked about Jesus manifested the name of God. In other words, he manifested the character of God. You don't manifest Yadavahe or the Tetrahedron or, you know, Jehovah. You don't manifest that. You say that. But he says he manifested the name, because the word name means the character of God. Do you manifest the character of Christ? If you hadn't eaten anything and been talking for hours and camping out and somebody gave you some fish and some bread, would you bless it and give it away? Or would you chow down on it? Well, if you would bless it and give it away, you might be ministerial material. If somebody suddenly gave you a windfall and you said, well, I don't really deserve this, I want to give it away. But give it away wisely. Well, how do you do that? You see, Israel was a nation that operated entirely by faith, hope, and charity under Moses. The Levites didn't kick in anybody's door in order to provide the social welfare, the health, educational welfare needed in a society to keep it bound together. This was all done by free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings over and over again. This is what Christ was talking about, because they had moved from that to a socialist state, which is what Rome was doing. And if you understood the historical context, Rome went from a republic to an empire by moving into a socialist state. And they offered you free bread and free health care and all these things in Rome. And Herod was doing the same. That's how he got the money to build the Golden Temple and the temple at Roma. Because he didn't just build Jewish temples, he built pagan temples. You could sign up with the Jews for your social security, or you could sign up with the Temple of Roma for your social security. You pick the temple, and you have. You don't go to church anymore when you're sick. You don't go to church anymore when you have needs. You go to the men who exercise authority, one over that. You go to Cain, who will bludgeon your brother if he doesn't give enough. And of course, you can't give enough now, because everything you give is to pay debt. And why? Because you haven't kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about debt. It's about working first. But anyway, now we're going to tell you how this all works when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, they are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights. Nor did Jefferson write, they are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights. Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep His inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep His laws, do His will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to Him and His government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws, and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government, in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and let me go on and share with you some of the other things we talked earlier about in previous shows about selling all you hath and what Christ meant about that, what it meant when it said they owned all things in common. They weren't talking about the general population, they were talking about the ministers, because that's exactly the way the Levites were organized. They owned all things in common, and there's a reason for that, because they were joint heirs to a responsibility to be the titular leaders of a nation who provided welfare for the people, the tents of the congregations. That's what it says, the tents, the tabernacles of the congregation. Whenever you see that in the Old Testament, that's the word for tents of the congregation. We have this tendency to think it only means this central tent that was moving around from tribe to tribe, which eventually became this stationary temple, contrary to the original plan. But also, God knew that you would do this foolish thing. David did all kinds of foolish things, but then he put them off. But then the people returned to it and got worse and worse and worse, exactly the way it says in Samuel. But they were serving the tents of the congregations of the families, binding a whole nation together by free will offerings, which means faith, hope, and charity, given freely, so therefore by the perfect law of liberty. Now you can tie together in your imagination that Jesus was preaching the exact same way that Moses was preaching. A lot of people want to return to the Torah. And we're going to have some shows on that. Well, not the Torah as interpreted by the Pharisees, I hope, or the Sadducees, I hope, because they interpreted it wrong. And most of what you see today in modern Judaism is contrary to what Moses said to do. The country of Israel, as an example. They're breaking every rule in the book as a matter of policy. But they have their ministers to make you feel good about it. So they get you to have unjust weights and measures in your pocket. They get you to have usurious money systems. They get you to settle for legal title to your property so that you don't have a right to the milk and honey, the beneficial interest. They do all these things contrary to Moses, yet they say they are Jews. And they're actually the synagogue of Satan. But the same can be said of the Christians, because they're doing the same things. Oh, they wear different robes, they have a different, traditions. But the spirit of their tradition is still contrary to what Christ said to do. They all pray to men who exercise authority one over the other to obtain their benefits. There's only a few religions that don't do that, but then they sometimes exercise authority too. So the truth is that the true church is not going to be like a corporation of the state. It's going to be like the body of Christ, operating as titular people who love one another. They will be peculiar. They will be different than what you see. You see, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're supposed to be seeking it and its righteousness. But we're not. And therefore, that's why you have all these injustices in the world today, and why the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And soon we will be able to say, hell is empty, all the demons are here. and they will be devouring who they will, and they are doing it now as we speak. But you're all preoccupied and you don't know what to do, and what we're telling you is what Christ said to do, and what we're showing people what the early church was doing. And I'm not going to tell you everything on the radio. The actual just absolutely amazing cleverness of Christ. Cleverness isn't even does it justice. But his scheme, his plan, which was God's plan, which was Moses' plan, which was Abraham's plan, is extremely effective. It opens all kinds of doors. But we're often closing doors, hiding from the truth, because of our addictions. And we're addicted to socialist states and to governments to do it for us. And that's why you're no longer a government of the people, for the people, or by the people. You're the lukewarm. You're the slothful. You're the ones under tribute. You're the ones back in the bondage of Egypt. You have chosen other men to be the ruling judges, to make the choices for you. And that's why you're in the problem that you're in. So what we talk about is the sacred purpose trust, which can put you on the right path. But you have to choose to walk it. And see, God put you on a path, and it was a trust. Trust it and keep it. And so that's what we're doing. We're following that plan. Now, the world follows that plan, but the world, the constitutional order and systems of government, they elect lawmakers who are and ruling judges who will exercise authority over you and arrest you, even though you did step back, you did comply, you didn't interfere, but they don't like it because you questioned authority. You want to know, why are you doing this? You actually asked a question. That interferes because they're God. And the thing is, the judge can support them because he's a God too. And we explain all that in other places, but those of you who actually take the time have to shut off the TV and actually do a little studying, find out what's going on. He also said to feed my sheep. This is a whole big long thing. We were not to exercise authority. We were to come together and as ministers to serve the people as titular leaders of a peculiar nation, a peculiar gathering of people that were to live by faith, hope, and charity, no longer coveting their neighbor's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority one over the other. So they were out there feeding the people, going from house to house and dividing the bread with the needy. In the meetings that they describe in the Apocryphas of Justin, he says we meet once a week, and those that have share with those that don't have enough. They actually had sacks of bread. That was the Eucharist of Christ that they would take out to the needy, because they were the social welfare system of God. They were the men who were the benefactors of the people who did not exercise authority, because the authority remained with the people. And this is how you do this. This is how you do it today. And they had to live in the world, but not of the world. They couldn't take the benefits of Caesar. They would obey him as a temporal ruler. You know, if he said, you know, you have to be over here on this side of the street because we're doing this here, we would walk over the other side of the street and go on our way. But we wouldn't apply to them for benefits, knowing that they're going to kick down our neighbor's door in order to get it, or put our children and grandchildren into debt eternally, as you have all done already. While you were going to church singing, you have ate at the table of kings with a great appetite. You have all decided to have one purse. You have been slothful in the ways of Christ. All these injustices going on today, it's the fault of these false ministers who say that you don't have to do anything and you're saved. No, you have to do something. You have to repent. You know, when I quote, "Not everyone that saith unto me," Jesus saying this, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. But Jesus said you weren't be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. But you are. Every time you take a benefit, every time you apply for a benefit, you are like them. Because you're asking them to take from your neighbor and from your neighbor's children and their grandchildren and their future, because they're all in debt. You're the abomination. You're feeding the spirit, not by paying in. All you're doing is paying debt. There is nothing goes to services. Everything goes to debt. They borrow the money for your services from your future and the future of your children. When you pay in, all you're doing is paying for the interest. All these systems are bankrupt. All these systems are bankrupt. All these systems of the world are bankrupt. They're all operating in the red. There are a couple of countries that are operating in the black, but they've been conquered either by the United States or by weapons of the United States given away to countries with the worst human rights record in the world. Amazing. And, you know, I saw the report once on Oregon Public Broadcasting. It was going to air again. Actually, it was a film that was made, and it's seen in Europe. And it shows the U.S. military delivering weapons at sea to ships that went ashore in another country and murdered tens of thousands of people, created rape camps, murdered dozens of reporters, international reporters from all over the world, just murdered them. They never ever found out what happened to them. All with U.S. military weapons given to a government that had one of the worst human rights records in the world under the Jimmy Carter administration. All well documented, and it is in films and in news reports all over Europe and other parts of the world. But when it aired here one time and was supposed to air again, the second time, the Oregon Public Broadcasting went to static. It wasn't allowed to air. They didn't even have something else to put on in its place. I was sitting there with a videotape to record it. You are ignorant. If you're an American, you are ignorant. And now some of you may be starting to become educated. But it's not the government that's doing this. It's the spirit of Cain, living and dwelling in bureaucrats and politicians and preachers and in you. You want to exercise authority one over the other. You want to make people do it your way. You don't want to operate according to the perfect law of liberty. Now, some of you, I know, probably listening on these stations, you do. But there's a part of you that still is clinging to the spirit of Cain. It's gotten into you. It's infested you. It's tainted you. And that's what repentance is all about, to get away from that, to walk away from that, to purge your own heart of that. And that's the purpose of the Sacred Purpose Trust. It will exercise that which you must do to purge your own soul of the spirit of Cain. It's kind of like, you know, like if you were to take drugs, the residue of those drugs is still in you, even after the main high has gone. And you have to clean up. You have to, you know, do a cleanse, so to speak. Get every last little bit out. I mean, this one, especially when you're dealing with like Lexol and Prozac and some of these drugs that use aluminum bases to their structure, their molecular structure. They accumulate in the brain. And so just stop taking them. First of all, you'll have withdrawal. But even after the withdrawal, the residual effects of those drugs are still in there, inside your body. And if you get it like in an electrical field, the aluminum responds to an electrical field. So these little trace elements, they will jiggle in an electrical field. Like if you sit in front of a computer screen, a big computer screen, like the old units, not so much with the flat screens, but I mean, your house is full of electrical fields. It can actually cause a little slight high again because those chemicals are still in there. They're still active. It's kind of like, when you build up toxins in your body, in the fat cells of your body, and then you start doing a fast or a cleanse, and or even deep muscle massage, you will release those chemicals that were in your body, and they are toxins again flowing around in your blood. So when you first start to follow the way of Christ by taking care of one another, striving to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, and unless you're going to do that, you're not going to be free. And people think, oh, I'm going to file these papers and I'll be free. Or I'm going to rescind my contracts and I'll be free. Not going to happen. You have to change. You have to manifest the character of Christ. Or they'll just come and devour you. They'll eat you up alive. As them that go down in the pit. That's what's going to happen. So not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he in the kingdom of heaven is the right to be ruled by God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, the right to be ruled by God. And not by other men. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? These will be all the ministers, who think they're Christians. And even some of the parishioners who think they're Christians. And the Bible thumpers who think they're Christians. And he says, in thy name, we've cast out demons. We've had altar calls. We preached from the pulpit. In thy name, we've done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Because you're not really manifesting the character of God. Ye that work iniquity. What's that iniquity? The spirit of Cain. See, you can sit in your house and watch TV, you can praise the Lord channel or whatever, 700 Club, whatever you want, you watch TV, and you just wait for that check coming in. And somebody else has gone out and bound your neighbor to pay that debt, and their children and their grandchildren. You say, well, I was entitled, I paid in. That's not the spirit of Christ. Christ was entitled to eat those fishes and loaves. They were given to him. He had given all his wealth away. And that's what it says. Though he was wealthy, though he was rich, he made himself poor. But he didn't eat them. He gave them away to somebody else. That's the manifestation. But you, knowing that your benefactors are men who exercise authority, knowing that your benefactors are bankrupt, you want the benefits anyway. Now, I don't want you to starve. I want you to repent. I want you to start setting the table of the Lord with your extra time and energy and whatever. Start learning how God's system of righteousness works. Start helping others learn. Start working with others to be the ministers of God. Support their efforts when you see them really doing it. Not these guys who've been tickling your ears, lulling you into a false sense of salvation, delivering you into bondage, and sometimes getting rich doing it. He goes on to say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do with them, I will, and do with them, that's works, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rock of what? The rock of faith. The rock of the manifestation of God's character. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Remember, Jesus said he was going to build his church on the rock. He wasn't talking Peter. He was talking the faith that Peter manifested, the revelation. You will not understand what I'm talking about unless there's some revelation. You may think you do. But if there's some revelation, you need to act upon that revelation. Don't be burying it. Don't be hiding it. You need to act upon it. You need to find others and work with them to become the benefactors who don't exercise authority. In verse 26, he goes on to say, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell." Do you think your house will stand? Do you think your benefactors will not fail? You know, your benefactors are the unrighteous mammon, the entrusted wealth, the treasuries, the central treasuries. They've already failed. You're just skating along on the momentum, creating more and more debt. And they're not going to change. You've seen that. You know, fiscal responsibility of the government. What about your fiscal responsibility? You're betting on Cain to supply you with benefits. You're betting on Nimrod to supply you with benefits. Like Nimrod's not going to fail. Like his tower is not going to collapse. Your system is the system of Cain. It's not the system of Moses. Even in Israel, their system of social welfare is not run like Moses' system of social welfare. It's just like what you've got in Australia and Canada and everywhere else. And they're all going to fail in a twinkling of an eye. This is what is happening. It will fail. For he taught them as one having authority, it says. The word authority there is the word exousia, which is the word for the right to choose. You know, it's translated authority sometimes. It's translated power sometimes. It's translated liberty sometimes. It's translated right, because it means the power to choose. For he taught them as one having the power to choose, to decide, not as the scribes. You know how many times, and I won't give you the details of this, where I run into scribes are bureaucrats. It means an accountant. It doesn't mean somebody who recopies the Bible over and over again. These are guys who enforce the rules and the laws and the regulations. And they say, well, I can't do anything because the regulation says that I have to throw you in jail. The regulation says I have to take this away from you. The regulation, well, you know, just following orders. You need to follow the orders of Christ. Next time, we're going to tell you what some of those orders were. We're going to show you how this Sacred Purpose Trust operates. But you're going to need to study it all. Until then, peace on your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.